been such a blessing to be with you this weekend. My heart feels so lifted up and encouraged in the Lord. And I appreciate so much your care and hospitality towards one of God's little servants. And I thank you so much for that. I want you to know that I believe that you have a great thing going here in Southampton. I believe that God has blessed you with a humble and able servant of God that is passionate about God's glory and preaching the word and serving the church. Isn't it wonderful how God has blessed them now to have a home that is so close to the church? I see that as a sign of good things to come. And I want to encourage all of you. You know, 20 years might seem like a long time to some of you children, but to some of us that are older, 20 years we know is just a whisper of time, right? And I do thank God that for 20 years now that God has given you a light, a candlestick here in this place. And I want to encourage all of you to continue to be faithful to the Lord and faithful to His church, because, beloved, as we just sang, He is faithful to us. Amen?
Amen.
Would you say amen this morning if I said we serve a faithful God?
Amen.
Amen. There's no doubt about it, right? Great is His faithfulness. And that's what we want to preach to you about this morning, is that very faithfulness, that attribute that comes from God and is an essential part of the character of God, the faithfulness of God. Without faithfulness, A.W. Pink and A.W. Tozer, I call them the A&W boys, they both said that without faithfulness, God would cease to be God. It is an essential part of the character of God. And I don't know if you realized it in the song that we just sang by Mr. Chisholm, but the verses are arranged in a very unique order. The first verse actually talks about faithfulness as a characteristic and an attribute of God. And then the second verse shows how that God has displayed His faithfulness to us in nature and in providence. And the third verse speaks to God's faithfulness specifically to His elect in their redemption. Isn't that beautiful? How God inspired that and ordered that to be written in that way. And so faithfulness, God's faithfulness, that attribute, His fidelity flows through all of His other attributes. And the Scriptures describe the faithfulness of God and so, in a way that we can picture it or understand it as something that is the vesture of God. It is something that He is literally clothed Himself in. And so, delight today, and if you're taking notes this morning, write this down. I serve a faithful God. Hallelujah. He wears faithfulness like a garment. And if it weren't for God, beloved, we would not know what faithfulness looked like. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
We would not understand that concept if it were not for God Himself, because all we like sheep go astray. Amen. They're a faithful man, the Scripture says, what? Who can find, right? And it is one of the things that must be found, though, as an attribute in those who would be qualified to be servants in the ministry. They must be found faithful, not perfectly faithful, but faithful as a hallmark of the character of their lives. But God, beloved, is perfectly faithful. He never fails to keep His word to one jot or one tittle God's word shall endure forevermore, right? Everything is in the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but the word of God, and he that does the word of God will endure forever. His faithfulness shall endure to all generations. We serve a faithful God. I find it interesting in the life of the man that wrote that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. If you want to open up back to 205 and turn to it, it's such a wonderful song. It was made known and popular through the ministry of Billy Graham, that great song leader that he had. I think it was Ira Sankey. Some of you that know that ministry better than I could correct me if I'm wrong, but they received this song and were so moved by it that Billy Graham requested that it be sung at every service where he would go around trying to preach. But the man that wrote this song, Thomas Chisholm, he actually felt called to preach and began and was ordained as a minister, but his health was so failing most of his life that he couldn't fulfill the office and the capacity of a minister because he was such in poor health. Now, all of us can relate to that, some more than others who have difficulties with their health, but you still have a heart, you still want to serve God, and that because of the faithfulness of God, even though we may have limited capacities, God has seen to it that He can still use us in spite of all of our infirmities, in spite of all of our weaknesses, in spite of all of our hang-ups, in spite of all of our unfaithfulness. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Yet He abides faithful. He cannot fail Himself. And so it touches my heart to think about this man who wanted to serve God so much and love the Lord so much, yet he could not serve the Lord even at the capacity or the level that he wanted to physically, yet he would still write this song. Lord, even though my outward man is perishing, yet you renew the inward man day by day. And he would still pen and write these words. Even though my life and my health is not the way that I would wish it to be, Lord, still great is thy faithfulness. And that is the testimony of the Word of God. It is the testimony and experience of all of the saints of God. I don't know how many of you are familiar with a great humble servant of the Lord named Hudson Taylor. Raise your hand if you are familiar with him. I see some are, some way. Yeah, you've heard the name, right? You say, I know he did something amazing. Yes. He was one of the first great pioneer evangelists and missionaries to the country of China. He dedicated 50 years of his life in faithful service to the people and God's elect in China. And he was a Baptist. And his ministry was what we call a faith-based mission work or ministry. Brother John, don't worry about that. I always consider that as just extra amens when the children are crying. And I'm loud enough to preach over them, so come on back when you feel like you can. He experienced a great blessing from the Lord during his time there, but as in all of our lives, there are mixtures of joys and sorrows. Amen? There are ups and downs. There are valleys and mountaintops. Yet, we find through all of that, like Job would say, oh, didn't Job go through some tough experiences? But Job would say, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Well, Hudson Taylor, he experienced the death of his precious wife in China and buried her there. He buried several of his own children there in the Boxer Rebellion that many of you remember that was so terrible there. They lost the lives of 50 missionaries that he knew personally that he had asked to come there and help train. And yet through it all, he was faithful to his calling. Oh, beloved, pray for the men of God of this hour and of this day that we might remain faithful. I read an article this last week that broke my heart, for it said that there was such discouragement among the overall Protestant, and I know we're not Protestant, but we are similar to them in many ways, and they're Christian the same as us. Reminds me of a funny story. I'll take just a little rabbit trail. The story goes that the children were in school and the teacher was teaching about the great religions of the world. And she said, now here in America, most people are Christian. And she said, I would just like, if you're willing to, for everyone in the class that knows they're a Christian to raise their hand. And everybody raised their hand except one boy. And his name was Johnny. And so after class, she went to Johnny and said, Johnny, I noticed you didn't raise your hand when I asked if you were a Christian. She said, I know your family. I see y'all. I pass by y'all every Sunday. You're at church. And he said, yes, ma'am. He said, but we're not Christian. We're Primitive Baptists. Because he hadn't made the connection, you know, that Primitive Baptists were Christian. But anyway, I thought that would get a few more laughs. I guess it's funnier in the South. I don't know, or my timing is off. But anyway, I've always thought that hilarious. Yes, we're Christian first, then we're Baptist. Amen? Can I get an amen? Amen. So anyway, the survey was that 48% of the laity, of the ministers among the mainline Protestant Reformations are seriously considering leaving the ministry. So great is the discouragement from just COVID and all that happened through that, and this turning of our culture away from God toward a secularism. And you know, how tragic that would be for themselves, because we know that no man putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, I'm going to retire one day, but it's going to be to heaven, brothers. My retirement plan is out of this world. Can I get an amen? Amen. Yes. And I just plan on wearing out myself. And I hope that God will bless us to be that way. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of discouragement. And Hudson Taylor faced that in his life, but he was faithful all the way to the end. Several times his health diminished so bad, he actually had to leave, go back and get healthy. And as soon as he got healthy, back he went to his work. But I want to read you something from him, from one of his journals that has always touched my heart. And I think about this a lot because of the role that I have in the work in Africa. You know, there are 20 constituted churches there, and there are 1,000 Primitive Baptist members in those churches, in those countries. And I always wondered about what Apostle Paul said in his kind of litany, his list, things of things that were heavy on his heart. One of the things that he said was the care of the churches. Well, I kind of know how he feels now, because that's a lot to care for and be responsible for, but we serve a faithful God. It's not on me. Right? I'm just a small part of the big thing that God, a faithful God, is doing. And so this is what he wrote. He wrote this. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. Our Heavenly Father is a very experienced one. He knows very well that his children wake up with a good appetite every morning. He sustained 3 million Israelites in the wilderness for 40 years. We do not expect he will send 3 million missionaries to China, but if he did, he would have ample means to sustain them all. Depend on it. And this is the one that I love, and I have it above my desk at home. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. Amen? We may be faint and weary, but our Heavenly Father is all powerful. Our feelings may fluctuate, but He is unchangeable. Even creation itself is a record of His steadfastness. That's why we can sing these words from a hymn by Thomas Chisholm. Summer and winter, and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. What an encouragement to live for Him. Our strength for the present and our hope for the future are not based on the stability of our own perseverance, but on the fidelity of God. No matter what our need, we can count on the Father's faithfulness. He who abandons himself to God will never be abandoned by God. Amen. What a blessing from one of God's servants from the past who now is reaping the reward of Christ in heaven as he basks in the glory of the Son of God. So, the faithfulness of God. Just three quick points this morning. Number one, it is declared by the written word of God. Amen? It is something that we can read in the word of God for ourselves, that the scripture and the Holy Spirit testifies of the faithfulness of God. Then secondly, it is observed in the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, this morning, it is experienced by the saints. Hallelujah. It is not just an abstract concept that we think about, but it's something that we can read in the Word, we can see and observe in Christ, our Redeemer and Lord, and it's something that we experience in God's great work of salvation in our lives. So let's look first at how it is declared in the work, in the Word. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 8. And I have to think that this is what Brother Thomas was thinking about when he penned that first verse that he, or that second verse that he wrote, in great is thy faithfulness. So we know that mankind proved himself to be unfaithful, so much that in the beginning of the world, they became so sinful that the scripture says that it repented God that he had made man. And God determined that he was going to destroy every living thing by water. But Noah found what, beloved? Grace. And so all of us would be destroyed unless we also found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so God did exactly as he determined to do, and he caused a great flood, and Noah built that ark, and God brought all the animals into the ark, and all the eight souls and all the animals that were with Noah rose above the flood and were preserved in that ark that was pitched within and without. Amen. That ark who God shut the door and sealed them in, it came to rest on Mount Ararat, and the water receded, and Noah sent out the birds, all that, you know. And then Noah built something else, right? He had built the ark, but when he came out of the ark, beloved, he built something else. He built an altar, right? So let's pick that up in Genesis 8:20. And Noah built it an altar unto the Lord, and took of every clean beast and of every clean fowl, and offered burnt offerings on the altar. And the Lord smelled a sweet savor. And the Lord said in his heart, this is a promise, I will not again curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again smite any more everything living as I have done. Now here's God's promise and God's faithfulness. While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest and cold and heat and summer and winter and day and night shall not cease. And I ask you this morning, has that been true? Has that been true all of your lives? What about all the lives of your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents? Yes. And so even the changing of the seasons, we've all talked about how much we're loving this great weather, right? And we can feel the breath of autumn coming to us, and it should remind us constantly, we serve a faithful God. The faithfulness of God. Every time I see the sun come up and then the moon rise in the evening, God, you're a faithful God. You have kept your promise. Well, by the way, has he ever flooded the earth again either? No, it even put something in the sky to remind us of his faithfulness again. I put my bow in the clouds, right? The rainbow is ever God's faithful promise and his seal of his covenant with Noah that he would never flood the earth again. So it is declared in the Word. And then one of my favorites in the book of Deuteronomy. Would you turn there? Oh, this is so beautiful. These words of Scripture. Let it comfort your heart today. Let it assure and give you confidence in the God that you serve. Listen to what he would say to you. Because what is true of natural Israel in the Old Testament is true of spiritual Israel in the New. And this can be applied to us. Beginning in Deuteronomy 7 and verse 7, the Lord did not set his love upon you, nor choose you, because ye were more in number than any people, for ye were the fewest of all people. Hallelujah. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's will to give you the kingdom. I tell you, this is the best thing that's going in Southampton. People just don't know about it yet. Y'all got to get the word out of what you've got here. And so that God might use that and use your witness and use your evangelism and use your testimony and your love to gather his children to this place. Remember how Philip got Nathanael, his brother. He said, come and see. Come and see. God said, go out into the highways and the byways and tell them to come to the wedding feast that my house might be filled. He said, you were fewest in number, but still a great host, right? But because, this is why the God chose you, but because the Lord loved you, and because he would what? Keep the oath which he had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, out of the bondman, from the hand of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the what? The faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Now, I'm pretty good at math. I'm pretty sure from this time till now, there's not been 1,000 generations. Am I right?
You're right.
But if there had, God would continue to still be faithful. When you read the word 1,000 or 1,000 in the Bible, it was just the highest number that they had at the time. I think our highest number now is like Googleplex or something like that, or it used to be. But the idea is that God is always going to be faithful. To 1,000 generations, he is the faithful God. Faithful to his covenant. Faithful to His promises. All the promises of God in Him are yea and what?
Amen.
Amen. Let it be so. Let it be faithful. One more, as we hear it declared in the Word of God, Isaiah chapter 11. We have heard from the antediluvial world in Genesis. We have heard from the law that God is faithful. Now we hear from the prophets. Isaiah chapter 11. Have you turned there? And here we have it described like we talked about as a garment that the Lord would wear. Isaiah 11 verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of His loins, and faithfulness the girdle of His reins. God says, whenever that you look at Me, whenever you look at My Son, whenever you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, one thing that is always going to stand out to you, My people, is that I'm a faithful God. I'm a faithful God. He wears it like a garment. Now, it is declared in the written Word. Amen. This is our written Word. And God's faithfulness is declared there. But now, what's wonderful is that in God's perfect time, in the fullness of time, the living Word, the Word, the Lord Jesus Christ came and He put on display in a life of 30 to 33 years exactly what the faithfulness of God looked like. And so we observe the faithfulness in Jesus Christ. And the first place that we're going to look at this is again to the book of Revelation. And you might say after this weekend, boy, Brother Nathan sure does go to the book of Revelation a lot. And part of the reason is because Brother Jeff Harris just preached Revelation 1 to Revelation 22. And I've never heard the book of Revelation preached all the way through in my life. And I just enjoyed it so much. And I got so much treasure out of it. Now I'm plugging in verses from Revelation in almost every sermon that I preach because it's so fresh on our hearts. And I hope that this will especially touch the sisters. And it will especially touch the wives, what I'm about to read. Because here we are given a view of the glorified Christ. Now this shows the difference between man and God. Because, Brother Andy, if I was God, and I was going to make me a garment to wear, and I was going to put something on my side, this is what I would lead with. Omnipotent and omniscient, right? I am all powerful and all knowing. That's the vanity of man, right? That's what we would lead with. Hey, I'm all powerful and I'm all knowing. And that is true about God. God is that. But here is described, and in Revelation, we have this beautiful dynamic of the Lamb, right, and His bride. And so I want especially you sisters to bear witness to this. Now, every woman, I believe, would like her husband to be a strong man. I mean, what woman doesn't like a man of strength that she could look to provide and protect? Sure she would want that. That would just be natural. Just as every man would like his wife to, you know, be Miss America. Now, a woman might also like her husband to be wealthy, to have money that she knew she didn't have to worry. She didn't have to take her calculator into the grocery store. And every time she bought something, oh, and when I get to the counter, am I going to have enough? Right? Maybe some of y'all never have had to do that. I've seen my wife under that burden, right? Maybe you would love for your husband to have a great sense of humor about things. Well, of course you would. But I bet if we got down to the heart of every woman here, of every wife here, you would say that the thing that I would treasure most, though, is that my husband was faithful to me and true to me. Am I right, sisters? Am I right? You're like, well, I could really use all four. Right? That's the way we are. But if you had to choose between all of those, wouldn't you choose faithful and true? So isn't it amazing, as we, the bride of Christ, as we view the glorified Jesus, the living Word, what He leads with, what He wants us to know, who He is to us, is the thing that our hearts need the most. For on His vesture and on His side in Revelation 19 and verse 11, and I saw heaven open. This is our husband, church. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called what? Faithful and true. Oh, there's going to be many things in this world that will disappoint you and let you down, but Jesus Christ will never be one of them. Beloved, He cannot fail. Oh, the book of Hebrews is so rich with this truth as well. Turn with me as we observe this in Jesus Christ. First, He is declared in glory as the faithful and true one. That's what He leads with. That's His heart for us to know. Oh, how wonderful. Husbands, how are we to love our wives as Christ so loved the church? I know you want to be a good provider. I know you want to be strong. I know you want to be virile. You want to be that knight on the white horse, right? But what your heart, the wife of your heart, the heart of your wife needs the most is know that she can trust you and that you're faithful to her, like Jesus. Enough said. Hebrews chapter 2. Here is some amazing things as well about Jesus Christ. Verse 17, wherefore in all things it behooved Him to be made like unto His brethren, that He might be a merciful and what? Faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Beloved, Jesus Christ is your high priest. He is a faithful high priest. He ever liveth, right, to make intercessions to God for us daily. Daily He is doing that faithfully, pleading for blessings from the Father to be poured out into your lives. And daily He loads us with benefits. Amen? Mm-hmm. Daily He loads us with that. Mercy's new every morning. A faithfulness that's so great. Beloved, but it says about Him as a high priest that He is touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And He is a faithful high priest to us. Faithful. He was faithful to obtain eternal redemption for us all. And still He has the scars in His hands and His feet and in His side to remind ever that our sins have been paid for and that we're white as snow. You remember Doubting Thomas? He was not faithful to attend church, or he would have seen the resurrected Jesus. But you remember, everybody was there and saw Him except Thomas. And Thomas said, I won't believe unless I stick my fingers in the holes in His hands and in His side. Well, next time Thomas was at church, Jesus just appears, right? Singles out Thomas immediately. He says, Thomas, come forth. Put your hands, my fingers in my side. Thomas just said, my Lord and my God. Oh, beloved, it is so important that we see Jesus in this way and that we can trust Him. Just skip down chapter 3, just one chapter, verse 1. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, Consider the apostle. Now, he is not only called the high priest, but the apostle, the messenger of God, and the high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus, who was what? Faithful to him that appointed him. So not only is he faithful and true, not only is he the faithful high priest, but he is also our faithful apostle, the faithful messenger of God. His word was true and is true. It's the truest thing that you and I will ever know or can ever believe. And beloved, he is also called the faithful witness. Amen. Back to Revelation, if you will with me. Back to Revelation chapter 1, he is described this way. Verse 5 of chapter 1. And from Jesus Christ, who is that faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. He is the one that came down from heaven and told us how things really were, and who God really is, and who we really are. And his witness is true, beloved. And you can just flip over real quickly to Revelation 3. And it's mentioned again for our comfort. Revelation 3 and verse 13. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. That's one of the titles of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen means let it be so. Let it be true. Let it be faithful. He is faithful. Right? The Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So, beloved, it is just a part of the character of God, this faithfulness. It is declared clearly in the Word. We just touched a few of the great verses about it. It is seen and observed in the Lord Jesus Christ, the living Word, and testified of Him. And then all we did was just read a few verses about it. We could go into his life and ministry and show time and time and time again how he manifested his faithfulness to God and to us, even in his most bitter moment upon Golgotha. He still said, my God, right? Still calling out in faith to his Father, even though he realized and knew that he had turned away from him because he had made him to be sin for us. Yet he still believed and had faith and showed faithfulness and fidelity. Even as he faced the cross, you know, and he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he drank the cup of the wrath of God, even the dregs thereof for us. But then, I think where it touches us the most is in the experience of the saints. We see the faithfulness of God. I know it's not been easy over these 20 years to be small in number, to not have your own building, to hear the grass mowing outside on Sunday, or there are many things that I'm sure that you are hoping and believing and trusting that God is going to do over the years. But beloved, abide faithful. For he, beloved, the scripture says that we must, that our labor is not in vain in the Lord, right? That we trust him, and that if we sow and if we plant, the law of the harvest is that one day we're going to reap. And we can trust him. So that's the main reason why I wanted to preach this message to y'all and to this assembly, is to encourage you to see the faithfulness of God. And what does Jesus love more than anything in the universe, the world, besides the Godhead itself? He loves his church. And so let us that make that our love and what we're faithful to the most as well. And so it is experienced by the saints. Very quickly as we begin to close. Psalm 119. This might be a strange thing to read about the faithfulness of God, but I think that it will meet you right where you are, and you will testify that this is true. Because in Psalm 119, verse 75, the psalmist says, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast what? Afflicted me. We don't like to think about God in terms of faithfulness in that way, but you know, the faithfulness of God is a two-edged sword. To the righteous, it's something that comforts us and that we rejoice in, but to the wicked, it is something that they fear and dread. Right? But God is a faithful Father. And Hebrews would tell us that if you're one of my children, if you're one of my sons or daughters, when you go astray, I'm going to chasten you. I'm going to afflict you, not willingly, for it grieves the heart to do so. But He does it because He is a faithful Father. And He is a faithful God. And He knows that what draws us away from Him is not what is best for us. What draws us away from the church is not what is best for our souls. And so He will faithfully afflict us and bring about that peaceable fruit of righteousness. You know, there comes a point with our children that we just have to turn them over to God. We have done all that we can do. We were talking about how Jochebed and her husband had to one day put Moses in the ark and just trust him to God, right? And so there comes a point with our children when they reach a certain age, you know, they go out on their own. And we say, truthfully, I've done all I can do by God's grace. But God never reaches that point. Amen. He never says, well, I've done all that I can do. Amen. And He knows exactly what we need. And I want to encourage you about this, that God will never afflict you longer or harder than what is absolutely necessary to get you to the place that He wants you to be. And the scriptures even tells us, you know, we hear that saying, I never believed it as a kid. The parent would say, this is going to hurt me more than it does you. I was like, I'm calling bull on that, Dad. But it is true with God. Because it says, in all of our afflictions, He Himself is afflicted. And the greatest punishment that we deserve, we will never feel. For He, as our elder brother and our husband, He stood in our place. So that God's dealings with us will never be punitive, but only corrective in our lives. So we kiss the rod. And I say, and I look back at my life, and I say, Lord, thank You. Thank You for Your chastisement over me as Your son. And I fear even sometimes, even I would think at 50 years old that I would never go astray from God. But you read stories and you see that even in old age, people lose heart and lose hope and stray away from God and the church. Oh, may it never be that way for you. May it never be that way for me. And my only hope is that the God that has kept me this far will continue to keep me all the way. Amen? He'll keep me all the way. So He's faithful in affliction. But beloved, I wouldn't leave you there. Because the other way that we experience Him is faithful in His promises to us. Amen? He has made promises to us that will never fail. I just want to read this to you. To encourage your hearts. And this is really what I came from Mississippi to deliver to you here at this church. This, I believe, is what God put on my heart most directly for you. It is Hebrews 10, 23. Now that you're in your 20th year, beloved, it's not time to take a rest and say, oh, we made it. But it's time to say, we're just getting started. God, we've just begun to fight. and work for God. I have a few more good years left. Let me give them to God and His kingdom and to the church and to this community. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. But to me, the dearest and best I have left for last. And I think all of you that know Jesus Christ, you will say amen to this with all that is within you. And to every sinner that is here, do I offer the hope of Christ and His blood. If you will be called by Spirit and believe in Him and you love Jesus Christ, do not delay and follow Him and cast your soul and your heart and your life upon Him and His faithfulness. For I am a sinner. And in sin did my mother conceive me. And sad to say and shame to say, I believe I have sinned to some degree every day of my life. Sins of omission, sins of commission, sinner by nature, sinner by choice. The Scripture describes it as from the head of our head to the sole of our feet. Covered in iniquity. How could God love a wretch like me? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so, because I am a sinner, later on today, I'll fly from Philadelphia to Miami. I'll fly from Miami to Memphis. I'll drive from Memphis to Faulkner. I'll, Lord willing, kiss my beautiful Miss America wife on the lips and hug my children that are still at home. I'll be so glad to be home, and it'll almost be time for bed. And it'll be once again time to speak with the Lord and say, Lord, it's Nathan again. A sinner that has been saved by Your grace. And Lord, I know that in different ways I've failed You. Today I fell short of Your glory. I might even have a sin that I'll have to confess particular. It might be a half-truth that I told while I was preaching. It might be a lustful thought that entered into my mind. You know, the Bible says even an idle thought is a sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. But I know I can come to Him and I can say, Lord, I confess my sin to You, and I ask You in Your faithfulness to forgive me. And He is bound by His word to forgive me and cleanse me and create me a new heart and be still in love with me as His child. For in 1 John, right? In 1 John chapter 1, in verse 9, we read, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. May the Lord bless you and keep you, is our prayer. Thank you so much for y'all's great attention and hospitality and love. I'm looking forward to hearing some good things to come. Pray for us at Providence that we have the same struggles, the same challenges. I always just say, Lord, if You would just add about 3 or 4 more good families, oh man, what we can do together. But he knows exactly what we need and when we're ready for it. And keep working for it, keep praying for it. So at the end of your days, you and I might stand before him in peace. And we might hear those words. Well done, thou good and faithful servant.